We'll read from verse 12 to verse 20. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, You bear record of yourself. Your record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know from where I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell from where I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. So Jesus is the light of the world. The question is, do we believe that? Does the world believe this? Do we believe it with our heart? There's many who would say yes on paper. When they write it down and they write a study, they write an answer to a quiz, they would say, yes, Jesus is the light of the world. But do we believe this in our heart? Do we live like that? This comes right after Jesus had talked with the Pharisees and finally the woman whom they accused of adultery, who had committed adultery, was left there alone with Christ. And he says, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Many of the Pharisees had left by this time. But then it says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This all goes together. If Jesus can say, Neither do I condemn thee, and it have any meaning or any weight, is the question. He follows up with saying, I am the light of the world. These things go together. If he can say, I don't condemn you, go and sin no more, and he can say, I am the light of the world, these are both big claims that Jesus makes. He is making a claim of authority that we do well to look at and ask, is this true? We know the answer to this, but we have to look at it also from the perspective of those who don't yet believe. He says the same thing over after he says, I am the light of the world. He says, He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It follows the same path. If you believe in Jesus, he says, I don't condemn you, go and sin no more. And then Jesus says, I am the light. If you follow me, you will no longer walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. It's in a way he's saying the same thing twice. First, go and sin no more, and then he says, I am the light. And if you really follow me, you will no longer walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. And this also is a claim in that many in the world, even many in the churches today, do not take seriously. And they say that, well, as long as you claim these words, as long as you pray this prayer, as long as you say Jesus is Lord, as long as you say, yes, I believe in Jesus, that's all it takes. How you live your life, we don't care. That is very sad, and it is also neglect towards others. It is actually a hatred towards others to say that you can live however you want, but as long as you say these words, then that is okay. We do say that God forgives all sin. If you believe in Christ, all your sin is and will be forgiven, even sins that you have not yet committed, because they are taken care of by Christ. They're not taken care of by your good works or your good intentions, but it is by Christ that they are taken care of. So Christ makes a claim and he says, I am the light of the world. He's not saying this is my opinion, this is what I think. He makes a solid claim. This is what we often do as we study theology. We say, this is my opinion. I have studied it and I think this is the truth, but do you have something else to say towards it? Christ is the source of truth. He doesn't come up with, this is what I think. Do you have something else that I should consider? He never does that, and he shouldn't, because he knows the truth, because he is the source of all truth. He doesn't make he doesn't give his opinion. He just states the facts. The fact of the claim stands or falls based on if it's true that he says who he is. That it's true that he is who he says that he is. He does not only say who he is, he calls men to walk after him. This is something that we need to repeat as well. We cannot just tell people, look, here's Christ. Do you believe this is who Christ was? But also, here's Christ. You should believe on him and you should follow him. That's the gospel. Jesus himself, John the Baptist, who came before Jesus to point people to him, preached saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent is to turn. Turn away from your sin, turn away from self, and turn and look to Christ. That is the example, and that is the teaching. There is light, follow the light, which is Christ. Go and sin no more. Don't walk around in darkness, but follow him who is the light. Last week, we looked at the first part of John 8. In verse 5, the Pharisees acted in such a way, and they said, Moses said this, what do you say? As if we're dealing with opinions here. We think Moses had one opinion. We believe Moses, but what do you say? And we saw last week how it was a trap. They wanted Jesus to disregard Moses so that they could say, oh, Jesus doesn't believe in Moses. Jesus disregards the word of God. But he didn't do that. He didn't disregard the truth. But that's what they wanted him to do. They said, what do you say? As if here's an opinion that we're going to debate. In verse 13, they now say, your record is not true. This is your own record, and your record is not true. You'll hear the word record and witness some more yet today. But you bear record of yourself, your record is not true, is also a bit like saying you're a witness. There was a law from the Old Testament, there are multiple verses that bring across this law about witnesses. You could not accuse someone of something unless you had witnesses. You have others to back up the claims. And this was a central part in Christ's life as well. But the Pharisees looked at him and said, you are your own witness. You make a claim. How can that be true? When they failed to see that Moses himself, and we've read this earlier in John as well, but Jesus told them, if you believe Moses, you would believe me. Why? Because Moses was a witness to Christ. Moses wrote about Christ. The things that Moses said about Christ came to pass. And so Moses was a witness to Christ. John the Baptist was a witness to Christ. They knew John the Baptist, but they refused to believe those things. And so their claim of you bear record of yourself is not very honest, because there was others who bore record. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. They knew about the Old Testament scriptures saying that light would come. Isaiah mentions it multiple times. Isaiah 9 verse 2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah 42 verse 6 says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Isaiah 49, verse 6 says, and he said, It is a little thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. And then again, Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Christ was prophesied as light, which is a witness about Christ. When Christ says, I am the light, the Pharisees who knew the law so well should have thought, well, the law does speak about light will come. They should have thought that. But in their own minds, they already made up, no, Jesus is taking away power from us. We don't want this person. Regardless of the cost, we don't want this person. People are listening to him instead of to us. They made up their mind, and that was the why they refused Jesus. John goes to great lengths. And we see that again here today, but he goes to great lengths to prove that Jesus is who he said that he is. He leaves us so much in these scriptures, and I'll mention more of the book of John today than usually probably. But this theme that Jesus is light, that Jesus is the truth, that Jesus is God, that Jesus bears record of himself, and that it is true, comes over and over and over in the book of John. They knew John the Baptist, and John the Baptist himself said in chapter 1 that he came to bear witness of the light. He came to bear record that this is the Son of God, and they knew John the Baptist. They liked John the Baptist in some ways. The part that they didn't like was that he said that Christ must increase and I must decrease. And they thought that people were following Christ instead of them. And so whoever is defending Christ is now their enemy. And so slowly John the Baptist is becoming their enemy too. In John 5 is in some ways a close parallel to what is coming again in John chapter 8. But in John chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. Jesus himself is saying, if I have a witness, if I claim something that only I claim, then it is not true. And why is he doing that? Because he perfectly fulfills the truth that was prophesied from the beginning of Scripture till that time, and he represents it perfectly. He represents the Father perfectly. And so he himself says that, yes, if I was alone and I myself have a claim, then it is not true. But he's telling them, but even you went to John the Baptist, and he also is bearing witness of me. In John 15, he says, verse 26, the Spirit of truth shall testify, or shall be a witness of me, and you shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. In John 19, he says, he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. So Christ does not just remain quiet and say, if I say it, it's true, and that's it. He could have, it would have been right, but he gives them enough for them to know, but also for us to know. John records it and says, here is so much evidence. Here is so much truth. And you can take it to the bank. You can take it and know it, that this is true. Jesus gave us enough evidence. He is the light. When he says, I am the light of the world, and he says authoritative things like, I forgive you, or go and sin no more, or I don't condemn you, or he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus speaks authoritatively because he is truth. Jesus does not go around the law's requirements. He is simply showing that there's more to it than what the Pharisees are thinking of. The law says in Deuteronomy 17, verse 6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses, and this is the principle of punishment, it says, he that is worthy of death shall be put to death. Or even just any sin, Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or sin, in any sin that he sins. But at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. And so God is a God of truth, and he has from the beginning established laws to say, look, to verify the truth, you must have witnesses. You cannot say that someone, because this is where it had consequences. When someone had sinned, when someone had sinned in such a way that they should be killed or that they should have a punishment, then God establishes the law and he says, you must have witnesses. The same goes in the church in Matthew 18. You cannot make a claim against someone by yourself and say, you are sinning. You can. First of all, you can, but if they don't believe you, because you are too. If you go to someone and say, you are sinning, if that person agrees with you, then you have two witnesses to it already. You don't need to go further. But according to Matthew 18, if this person refuses, you need to take a few more with you as witnesses and go and say you are sinning. Again, the principle of witnesses that God takes very seriously. Paul, even when he writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13, says, this is the third time that I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Paul in 1 Corinthians wrote very harshly to the Corinthians for their sins and their problems. In 2 Corinthians, there was repentance, there was restoration, but still he says, I am coming to you and I will be with other witnesses and we will establish, we will confirm everything. It's not only my word against yours, but I will make sure there are witnesses. It also teaches us, it shows us, that even in our lives, truth is important, and it is often important, if someone doesn't agree especially, to bring someone else so that, why? Every word can be established. God is truth, and God wants us to rejoice in the truth. The same is in 1 Timothy 5, where it says, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Again, witnesses are important, and there's no justice is being done when there are no witnesses. There's many places in the Old Testament. I'll just briefly go over a few. I'm not going to read many verses about that. But Jacob and Laban, when they went their separate ways in Genesis 31, it says that they put up a heap and a pillar, and it says they said between themselves, look, this is a witness between us. When we go past here, we don't go to do harm to you, you don't come to do harm to me. This is a witness between us. It is not a person, but they agreed, here is a witness between us. God also made the Israelites in Joshua 22 to put up an altar that was not for sacrifice, but that it was a witness between Israel and the Lord. A witness is something that bears record to the truth. Look, here's an altar. This is between the Israelites and God. This is a witness. And also in Joshua 24, again, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord, and they set up a great stone as a witness. Boaz and Ruth, he said before the elders and all the people, you all are witnesses this day. And that was that he redeemed the inheritance and takes Ruth. False witnesses also use the same laws, because they knew that witnesses were required. When they wanted to kill Jesus, what did they do? They brought false witnesses. They said, we have people here who said that he will destroy the temple in 3 days. They brought false witnesses against Stephen in Acts 6 and 7. Because why? They wanted to kill Stephen. And they said, well, we got to have witnesses. Even the world understands that you cannot have one word against the truth. You got to have witnesses. After Christ died, was buried, and rose again, the scripture goes to great length to speak of all the people that saw Jesus. Why? Because they were witnesses to Christ being raised from the dead. Paul says, if Christ is not raised, our faith is in vain. If there was no witnesses to Christ's resurrection, then it would just be, we could say one word against ours, even though Christ is God. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Christ goes to great lengths to also provide witnesses more than required. In Acts, over and over, it speaks of the witnesses, but this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. We all are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost. It says it in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ rose and he was seen of Cephas, and he was seen of the 12, and he was seen over 500 brethren at once. He was seen of James and the apostles, and also of Paul. Many witnesses of the risen Lord. 1 John 5, verse 7 through 11 also speaks of these three bear record in heaven, three bear witness in the earth. Now, some will argue if that should be in the scripture, but I'm not going into that today. I believe it is. God has given us many witnesses, and God has given us heavenly witnesses and earthly witnesses, and he has given us so much more than what would be required according to the law. Now, having looked at that a little bit, Christ makes a claim. He says that, yes, there must be witnesses. He says earlier in John chapter 5, if it was only me, it wouldn't be true. But now I want to go a little bit from the perspective of, then why do men reject the witnesses? Why do men reject the record? They say in John 8, verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, you bear record of yourself, your record is not true. That's a rejection of what they don't understand, of what they don't know. They throw this two-witness rule at him as if he is alone. But the thing is, they refuse what John the Baptist said. They refuse the things that Moses said that they don't like. They refuse what Isaiah said that they don't like. And then they just isolate Jesus and say, you're here by yourself. Your witness is not true. You're all alone by yourself. The issue is, though, that the pattern in Scripture and today is that the rejection is not intellectual. You cannot think and think and think and calculate in your mind and say, okay, this is false. The rejection is always moral. What does that mean? You reject God because you hate God. You reject God because you hate His righteousness. You reject God because you don't like that He says you should go and sin no more. It's the saying that is sometimes used is, the thief doesn't find a policeman. You can go in the city where there are the most police in the city, but the thief still cannot find a policeman. Why? Because he's actively evading, running away from where he knows that the police would be. And this is what we do when, in our own nature, before Christ draws us to Himself, before He calls us to Himself, we run. No one seeks after God. No one loves God. Why do we love God now? Well, we love God because He first loved us. He brought us to Himself. Ephesians says that He made us alive. While we were dead in trespasses and sin, Christ made us alive. And so why do we reject Him? It is a moral dilemma. We like our sin. We don't like righteousness. When you have a dark room and you have roaches and you switch on the light, they will run away. And this is the same issue that we run away from the truth. This is why the Pharisees could tell Jesus plainly, you are lying. Your record is not true. Why? Because everything that Jesus said would somewhere convict them of their own sin. We had just seen this in the previous few verses, where it says in verse 9, they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And the woman was left alone, standing in the midst. All of those who came to accuse this woman left. Why? Because when they got confronted with the truth, it came back to convict them of their own sin. You know, when you're convicted of sin, it'll do one of two things. It'll either harden you, where you just hate God more and more and more, or it'll break you, and where you say that, yes, I have sinned, and I'm happy that I can put my trust in Jesus for my sin. These are the only two things. It speaks in Corinthians of the gospel coming, and it's serving two purposes, to those who are lost and to those who are saved. The gospel comes to them both. To one, it hardens, and to the other, it softens, it breaks, and then it gives peace, it gives joy. Because God is a living God who brings salvation to His people. The problem with the Pharisees was, is Jesus told them in John 5, we didn't read all the verses yet, but in John 5, verse 43, He says, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. This was the same issue. Jesus says, you don't receive me, I come in God's name. I come in the Father's name. But if anyone else comes in their own name, you'll receive them. Why? Because that won't convict them of anything. If someone comes and says that I come bringing peace, I come bringing salvation, and it has nothing to do with your sin, it has nothing to do with your sin problem before God, you can say, oh, you can tell me all about it. I want to hear how much God loves me. I want to hear how good God wants to be to me, how much goodness He wants to give me. He wants to give me riches and health. He wants to give me a good family. I want to hear all those things. Just leave me alone in my sin, right? That's what Jesus tells him. Anyone else will come and you will say, oh, come on in. But when I come in the Father's name, you reject me. Men reject that which they cannot control. This is why when we hear how sinful we really are, and the world hears this, they will hate you for it. You are the messenger. You tell them, look, your own sin condemns you. Because of your own sin, you will go to hell unless you see that you need Christ. You must come to Christ. You must trust in Him. And they will hate you. Why? Because you're telling them the truth that your own sin will condemn you. Your own sin makes you turn away from God. Your own sin makes you not even want to seek God. And they say, well, I can't come to God on my own terms. No, you can't. You can't. You can't come to God on your own terms. You have to come on His terms. We cannot have our own court of opinions. We must lay it all down and say, Christ is the truth. Whatever I have thought, whatever I have believed, whatever I think, if it doesn't line up with what God's Word says, I lay it down. Yes, it's uncomfortable, but that's the only place where true salvation and joy is found. Men love darkness rather than the light, John 3, verse 19, because their deeds were evil. Jesus said, the world hates me. Why? Because I testify of it. He said in John 7, verse 7, I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. This is the reason why men reject Christ. Now, we've looked at Christ made a claim. He said He is the light of the world. He says if someone follows Him, they should not walk in darkness. Men reject this because of our own nature, our own hatred for God, our own hatred for the truth. We reject this. Now, number three, even His own record is true because of who He is. It is true what He said in John 5, if it is only my record, it is not true. But it is not only His record because He is one with the Father. In verse 14, He says, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. In chapter 5, He said, if I bear record of myself, my record is not true. Now He says, if I do bear record of myself, it is true. He says that because He is one with the Father. Both are true. One is, if it's just of Himself as a person, it can't be true. But it is true because He is one with God. He knows from where He came from and where He is going. Their ignorance of it does not matter. Their ignorance of it doesn't change the truth. So it's because He is divine. He knows from where He's coming and where He is going. Because He is divine. He is not guessing or making something up, but He is living the perfect plan of the Father. He is perfectly one with the Father. He came from the Father and He goes to the Father. Only Christ can say, I am the light of the world, because He is the source of it. You know, He also said to His children that you are light. But why is He saying that? Because He is giving it to us. That's why we are light, not because we are the source of it. We don't say in the way that Christ did, I am the light of the world. We cannot. We have no source of light outside of Christ. We have no good in us outside of Christ. And so Christ saying, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true because I know from where I come and whither I go, but you cannot tell from where I come or whither I go. They judge what they do not know. And the Bible tells us to be careful about judging unrighteously. We are to judge righteously. We are to judge what we know, but we are not to judge unrighteously. We are not to judge what we do not know. The flesh will judge after the flesh, after appearance, and after control. They will judge based on what will keep their own control. But if you look at it, who is the arrogant one? Who is the proud one? Well, if it's the truth, we already know Christ is not arrogant. The Bible says he humbled himself. He gave everything. He humbled himself even to the point of dying on a cross. It is not pride, because it is the truth. He came to be a representative of the truth, to speak the truth, and to prove the truth. Jesus died and rose again. He proved that everything that he said is the truth. He bears witness to that which he has seen from his Father, is what he says. When he speaks of where I go, he is already referencing the cross. They do not care about where he's coming from or where he's going to. They're just convicted of their sin. But he says, whither I go, he's already pointing at the cross, where sin will be paid for. Salvation will be made sure. It cannot fail. It will not fail. The cross, the grave, he raises from the dead and he returns to the Father. That is what he is pointing to. He knows where he's going and he cannot fail because he is one with the Father. And so for us, we sometimes question, well, does God really mean this? And I think the more we understand who God is, the more we say, well, once we know what God says and what God means, yes, we will follow him. But sometimes we're still tempted to say, no, I think God understands. I can keep some sin. But no, we don't sit as his judge saying, is Christ righteous in what he requires? God says he requires perfection, and we say, oh, I don't think so. God is such a loving, squishy God. No, God requires perfection. The question is, how do we receive it? And it is only by faith in Christ that we can have righteousness, that we can have perfection credited to our account, and it's because of him, not because of us. So he says, verse 14, that his record is true, and it is because of who he is. But now the Father joins the witness with the Son. It's not only his own witness, he makes it also clear that it is with the Father. Verse 15, you judge after the flesh, I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Finally, he comes to it and he says, I and the Father that sent me. I am not alone, I am with him. I work on his behalf. I work in perfect unity with him. You judge after the flesh, is what he tells him. Why? Because that is what someone will do in the flesh. The things that are of the flesh cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. The witness points to the Father. So, his record is true because of who he is. He is one with the Father. The Father's witness to him is also true. At the baptism, the Father sent down his own voice from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. Again, at the Transfiguration, those were clear witnesses from the Father about the Son. But not only that, also the miracles that he did. All the prophecies about Christ that were being fulfilled. They were a witness from the Father to the Son. This is my beloved Son. He is working on my behalf. The miracles, they are from God. All of this, the Father bears witness of the Son. The works, Jesus said earlier in John, we already looked at, where he said, if you don't believe me for my words, believe me for my works. Why? Because that was a witness from God, the Father, to the Son, the works that he was doing. So we're not left with just a human voice, because Jesus is God and he is one with God. He is the light of the world. We will either accept or reject, but he is the light of the world. They then ask, where is your father? In verse 19, where is your father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father also. Here we see how those who claim that, oh, I'm good with Jesus, or I'm good with the Father, so often, and sometimes directly, you ask them, well, how about, do you believe in Jesus, that he died for your sins? It's like, well, I believe in the Father. I've had someone tell me that. They don't want to talk about Jesus. It's just me and the Father are good, is what I've sometimes heard. But they ask, where is your Father? And what Jesus says is shocking to the flesh system, to our earthly system. You don't know me or my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. We, from our flesh, we cannot see. If I know Jesus, I know God. If I know Jesus, I know the Father. If I know Jesus, I know what the Creator of the universe says. Yes. Because he came incarnate. He came in the flesh as God. So if we don't know who God is, that is a judgment on us. That is telling us that we don't know Christ either. But Christ doesn't go arguing until he is blue in the face like we sometimes feel like doing. We talk about eschatology and it's like we just want to argue and fight over it. Or we talk about the sovereignty of God and we want to argue and fight over it. But what we need to see is if we ourselves get closer and closer to God and to his truth, then we should lay it out and also see that anyone who understands it will only understand it by the grace of God. Not because we can argue it good enough. Not because we get mad when they don't understand. But that is Christ's example to us. He just tells them the plain truth and he tells them plainly. I am one that bears witness of myself and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Verse 18. And so many of the things in John sound conflicting. Like in John 1, he says, no man has seen God at any time. But now he says, if you know me, you know the Father. It sounds a little bit conflicting, but we need to understand the things, where they are from man's perspective and where they are from God's perspective and where they are spiritual and where they are not spiritual. No man has seen God at any time. Jesus is speaking by way of the flesh. If you've seen Jesus in his human form, the human form itself is not God because he is fully man and he is fully God. He is fully God while he is fully man, yes. But when he says no man has seen God at any time, he is making this distinction of who God really is, much greater and much bigger and much more glorious than our minds can comprehend. John 12, verse 44, he says, he that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sees me sees him that sent me. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He that has seen me has seen the Father. But it goes back to, if we're in the flesh, John 3:18 says, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. And then verse 19, light is come into the world and men loved darkness. God makes a separation that is so great. He says, you either are condemned or you're not condemned. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. In our flesh, we feel like there's a middle somewhere. I'm trying to be a good person, or I go to church, or I obey my parents, or I do what the preacher says. I try to be a decent person. But according to Scripture, there's two places that are separated by a great divide where there is no middle. You're either not condemned or you are condemned. You either see the Son and you see the Father and you're saved, or you don't. You believe in Christ and you believe in the Father who sent Him, or you don't. There are not many ways to the Father. There is but one, and that is through Christ Jesus. So, who has authority to say who Christ is? When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," who do we need to ask, is this true? Do we have a court we can go to, maybe? Do we have a church of councils somewhere that we can go to? Do we have someone who has studied the Bible all their lives who we can go to? Who has the authority to say that Christ is who He is? Isn't it just Christ Himself? Then how can we believe it? If we have no one here to tell us with certainty. Now, we know things with certainty if God has saved us. But there's no one else who has the authority to tell us this is true or this is not true that Christ says. Then how do we receive this? By faith. Faith, it says in Hebrews, is the substance and the evidence of things not seen. Christ, when He brings us to faith, He puts it in our heart that we know this is the truth, the substance and the evidence of truth. He puts that in our heart. The Holy Spirit, it says in Romans 8, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not only that we are the children of God, how do we get there? By knowing that Christ is who He says He is. And so we have His Word. And His Word has the authority. Christ's Word has the authority to say, this is who He is. We don't have a court for it. We don't have smart people who can tell us this is the truth. But we have Christ and His Word that He has given to us, and God can make it true in our heart where we know this is the truth and we have faith in Christ. A witness tells us what he has seen and what he knows and has seen, and he stands by it even unto death. I go and tell you what I know and I have seen, but that is not the authority for truth. That is a witness. That is pointing you to something where you must also find this for yourself. So it doesn't come through the Pope. It doesn't come through a preacher. It doesn't come through a court. It comes from God's Spirit. God has His witnesses. I tell you the truth, but you must find this individually with Him and say, yes, I believe this is the truth. Last week we saw that Christ is just and the justifier. Now we see that Christ requires witnesses, but He has provided them. He has provided His Spirit for us. He draws us to Himself. He Himself is our witness. And so the thing that He requires, He also provides. He requires justice, but he provides this justification. So, we can keep to our own sinful ways, our own human courts, continue to love darkness and make God a liar. And what happens? God's Word just hardens us more and more until we die in our sin. That's what the Scripture says. Or we bow. We say, Christ is the truth. I cannot fight it any longer. I don't like my sin. It is bothering me. I am convicted with it. I don't want my sin brought to the light, but I want. Because I want this light. I want Christ Jesus. Our flesh doesn't like to be exposed. We don't like our sins exposed. But we are to walk in the light, the Bible says, as He is in the light. We are not His judge. He is the judge. He is righteousness. He is truth. So last week He said, and we saw that in verse 11, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He says, I am the light of the world. These are very great claims. But His record is true. Do you believe this? His record is true. It was sealed at the cross. He finished everything at the cross. And then He proved it by being raised from the dead. You should not just nod and say, I believe everything that Jesus said about Himself. But you got to believe it in your heart. Believe in your heart. Profess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Your life will be changed. If you trust in the light, you will follow the light. You will walk in the light, 1 John says. And if you trust in Him, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. He bore our sin. If we trust in Him, we will be and we are fully forgiven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We pray that You would make it clear in our hearts. Pray if there is anyone here who's uncertain about their own salvation or even knows that they are lost, God, that You would be gracious and merciful and draw them to Yourself. Show them that, yes, our sin will be exposed. It needs to be exposed. And if we don't bow here, one day it will be exposed. And God, give the grace and the mercy that we can and want to give up all for You today and trust in Your finished work on the cross. Trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that He died and rose again for our sin. Help us to see the beauty of the gospel, the glory of Christ, that His life is imparted to our life. Our sin is transferred to His account, is paid for. Show us the beauty and the glory. Help us to believe and trust in Your goodness. That we don't trust in ourselves anymore, but that we trust fully in You. Firstly, for our salvation, but also for our life, knowing that You love us, that You work all things for the good of Your children, and that we truly believe this. Guide us in Your way, guide us in Your truth. Bless us today and through this week. Show us more of Christ. Forgive us and cleanse us. Lead us in Your righteousness. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.